Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Welcome back. So today I wanted to chat with you about team. And I have a lot to say about team. I have a lot to say about leadership, stepping into a CEO role. If you've heard me talk at all, you know that I believe that there's several stages to your identity. When you start out as a practitioner, a healer, a coach, whatever you start out at, you have to absolutely own your craft. And then you have to transition into becoming a business owner. So business owner, if you think of it like a little pyramid, you start out as a practitioner, then you ascend to a business owner if you decide to open your own business. And then you have to become a leader. And then you have to become a CEO, and then you have to become an entrepreneur. And an entrepreneur is somebody who owns multiple businesses, monetizes their ideas, and that sort of thing. There's a lot of steps in between, and I truly believe to transition from a business owner to an actual leader and then to a CEO, you have to nail team. And for a lot of the amazing people that I work with, team is a big bottleneck for them. Team is something that they struggle with consistently because they've never been taught how to properly lead other people, myself included. A lot of it has been trial and error over the last 10 years of owning a business, and I think that I've learned a lot through that. I've became better, stronger, quicker during that process when it comes to hiring, when it comes to firing, when it comes to leading people and getting them obsessed with the mission at hand. That's something that I really feel like I nail, but it didn't always start out that way. Okay, so let's go back a few years and talk about what really started to shift inside of me when I knew that I was ready to grow my team. And so for the longest time inside of brick and mortar, I had people on my team who were obsessed with the mission, excited to show up every day, but I didn't really have this trajectory or this path of growth for them. I would just hire them and be like, hey, I think you have skill sets that you could take this off of my plate. You're hired. You know, you passed it. There's nothing crazy on your background track. Come in. You're going to help me. As I got more seasoned and more experienced in leading people, I realized that I had to hire based on not only the skills that they had, but who they were at their core, who they could be during times of chaos, who they could be during times when things weren't going as well as we often hope that they do. That's business, right? So sometimes things are going to be going amazingly. Sometimes things are not going to be going amazingly. And I wanted to hire people that had the characteristic traits that could get through those times and also improvise and innovate and help the business move forward. So I started thinking about team in a different way. And there's three stages to team. So we have builders, we have strategists, and we have pioneers. And I'm going to talk about how to pay them. I'm going to talk about how you can think about them taking things off your plate when you look at delegating things off your plate. But more importantly, you have to know that when you transition from business owner to leader, that's the only way that you're going to get different people on your team. Often business owners just have builders on their team. It's like, boop, boop, boop. I'm going to put you in these seats and you're going to do this task for me. You're going to do these tasks in admin. You're going to do these tasks in marketing. You're going to do these tasks in client success. And that's it, right? Instead, I really like to hire people that have skills and that have the characteristic traits that it really doesn't matter what role I put them in. And you might agree with that. You might disagree with that. That's okay. That's the way that I like to build team. I like to build team based on the identity of who they want to become and how they want to operate. And so for a lot of the people I hire them knowing that this is the job that I'm hiring for, but by no means do I want to keep them there. I'm already thinking three steps ahead. Well, hey, if the company does this, then I want to move them into this role because I could see them shining here. If the company stays on this trajectory track, I want them to do this and step into this next role because I know they have the skill sets for that too. And that's kind of hard to do. I didn't have that figured out at the beginning stages of being an entrepreneur. It really required me to build up the muscles and the reps of being a really good leader. Okay. So first things first, you cannot transition into hiring better team unless you're willing to become a really amazing leader in the process. That's often doing work on yourself, figuring out what your own triggers are, figuring out what's holding you back, figuring out why you're scared to delegate or lose control. All of that is required to become a really good leader. Because here's the thing. I know that the people that work for me in present time in 2026, I wouldn't have attracted back in 2016 when I was just starting because I wasn't the leader that I currently am today. And if you have a lot of people on your team that have been with you for a long time, it's important that they're evolving and becoming in the process just as you are, because they have to match where the business is going, not just where the business has been, okay? And so let's talk about builders. Builders are people that come in and do the task at hand. They're typically paid hourly rate. They typically don't have any incentives. They have a very clear structure. They have very clear projects. They have tasks, items like complete A through Z. And you're not really asking about their perspective when it comes to things. You're just saying, hey, I need this off my plate. Please do this. And they're great. We absolutely need builders to survive. We need builders that are really good at one or two things and can just own those tasks completely. However, in the age of AI and cloud cowork and cloud code and everything else that's developing in real time, these are going to be the people that are replaced the soonest. So think of your front desk admins. Think of your virtual assistants. Think of your executive assistants that are just doing computer tasks for you or behind the scene tasks. Those are going to be replaced so easily with AI. I just said recently to some of my clients, like, your people on your team that don't have real life skills should be worried about getting replaced, and you should not be quiet about that with them. You should encourage them to adapt or die, essentially, like inside of their role. Either adapt to the way that things are evolving, the way that our systems and processes are evolving, the way the AI is evolving, or expect your job to die off, because we're entering a whole new world in the way people work and the way that people build companies, that if my team cannot build with me in that direction, there's not going to be a role for them anymore, right? After builders, we have strategists. And I truly believe that strategists are where the juice can be squeezed, where you really, when you want to step into that leader, you have to start hiring strategists at the very least, because these are the people that actually take things off your plate. They can own a role in marketing. They can own a role in client delivery. They can own a role in sales, and they start thinking for you and the business. Typically, the way that I like to pay these employees is I like to give them a salary and then either KPI bonuses or performance-based bonuses so that they're invested and how well the company does as a whole as well. And these strategists are people that are not only taking a task that you give them, but they're thinking, how can I make this task better? How can I develop a whole system and process around this? How can I streamline from A to Z? What needs to happen? What are the steps that I actually need to remove? The sign of a good strategist is somebody who says, hey, I know this is the way we've always done it, but this is how I think we should do it now because it's better. It's more streamlined. It's a better experience for our clients. That's somebody that you're like, ooh, they're actually thinking about the job. They're thinking for me, not just doing what I tell them to do. And I'll never forget the first time I did this. Brandy is a perfect example, because I had hired her, and before her, I had had a personal assistant, executive assistant. The role was kind of muddied, if I'm being honest, because she was not only doing stuff for me inside of my house, she was doing stuff like managing my email, helping me plan, project management, things like that. And I never felt, even though I knew that she was like so excited and wanted to help, I never feel like I could completely wash my hands of a project. Like, I would just be like, oh, I know she has it handled, because she couldn't think the way that I could. And I don't expect your employees to be able to think like the way that you think right off the bat, but they need to have the characteristic traits and the intelligence to be able to mold into that person that thinks like you in any scenario. The strategist still needs that, okay? And I'll never forget when Brandy started working for me, I was like, hey, I think we should do this. She started working for me before we had our first in-person event with 90 people. And I didn't really have to train her. She just jumped in. She started thinking like me. She started thinking ahead, all of the logistics. And I was like, oh my God, she right off the bat is a strategist. I knew that based on how she interviewed, by the way. She came to that interview locked and loaded, ready. She was asking me questions. And so again, think about this. You have to be five steps ahead in your hiring process to know what you're actually looking for. I was looking for a thinking partner. I was looking for somebody who's going to join my team and think and get me excited about what we are building too. I energetically, this is just a thing for me as a CEO, I energetically have to want to be around my team and be excited about the ideas they bring to me, because the more excited I am to be around them, the more regulated I am and the more excited I am about the future. And so I knew right off the bat from hiring her, I was like, this girl's a strategist. We're going to accomplish incredible things together. And we have. And so after strategist is a pioneer. A pioneer is one of one. I call these the unicorns. You are lucky if you get maybe 2 to 3 of them in your lifetime inside of your company. These are the people that want to build right alongside of you. Now, I truly believe strategists can ascend to become a pioneer the longer they are with your company. It's really hard for somebody to be a pioneer within the first 5 years of them working for you, because these are the people that you're going to end up profit sharing with down the line based on their effort and their contribution to your company. These are the people that are thinking about your company on the weekends. They're the ones not only innovating and improving the systems and the processes, they're the ones of thinking completely new income streams for you. They're the ones thinking of collaboration opportunities. They're the ones that are on a Sunday morning slacking you and saying, oh my God, I just had this amazing idea for the company. These are the people that are so invested that they feel is like it's their own. I also call these people intrapreneurs. So they don't necessarily want to be an entrepreneur on their own, but they have that entrepreneurial spirit inside of them to come in and add massive value to your company. They may not have the risk tolerance that it's required to be an entrepreneur. And that's why they're looking for companies that are doing big things, making a massive impact that they can be a part of. That is truly what a pioneer is. They're looking for a home that all of their skill sets, all of their passion, all of their joy can contribute to. And so anytime I've hired a strategist, my goal is for them eventually to ascend to a pioneer. And that's going to be people like your chief officers, if you were following like an EOS model where you had a chief marketing officer, a COO, a CEO, all of those are going to be your pioneers, could also be considered your leadership team. However, if you're not willing to go through the identity shifts required to become a leader and then a CEO, you're never going to attract this kind of talent to your company. I love recently, we just kicked off another round of 90-day sprint inside of our coaching company. And somebody said, I finally am realizing that I haven't hired the right people because nobody is taking thinking off my plate. Nobody is innovating. I've just hired people who are really good at tasks. And unfortunately, nobody teaches us this, right? That's why we do with the Wealthy Practitioner. We teach you the things that you need to know so that scaling should feel easier with the right people on your team. And that trajectory, by the way, inside of the Wealthy Practitioner is one of my companies, was so obvious. If you feel like you're having incremental growth and you're like, okay, we're growing by 5%, 10%, it's because you have the people that are only task managing and not innovating, right? Not taking things off your plate so that you can stay in your zone of genius and own what you're meant to do, and they can come in with their own zone of genius. And so if you're looking for that quantum leap in business, I encourage you to just find somebody new, pay them a lot more money than you've ever paid somebody. Brandy was one of those people that I was like scared to hire because I was like, I know she's going to hold me to a higher standard, but I also know that she could really be worth what I invest in her because I think she's willing to be invested in the company as a whole. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, absolutely, I need to think about a different way of hiring a team. And also, by the way, I want to grow to $1 million in revenue. Then you have to check out the other video I did on how to scale a company to $1 million. If I was starting over, what I would do, because not only do you need the right team to make that happen, you also need the right mindset and the clear roadmap on what's necessary to becoming $1 million business. I will see you next week.
If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.